school in New York. Was that a boarding school? The equivalent of what we would call a high school then?
No, it was a it was a big New York house.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many girls were there. I imagine maybe 20.
Mm-hmm.
And we had many advantages. We went to the opera a lot, and we went to theater. We had a very good education as far as the
cultural things.
Yeah,
the
arts.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to show you Grandfather Tree's picture. These are all family. Oh, that's not a good picture of him. Yep.
Oh, he's handsome. Who made this book up?
Yeah, he was handsome.
He looks like Jimmy.
Well, I don't know about that.
Don't you think a little bit?
But anyway, he was handsome, and there's my grandmother, Cleve.
Oh, isn't she beautiful?
And
she is sitting there posed in a magnificent black taffeta gown. Her hair is parted in the middle and with braids around it, and her hand perfectly elegant.
And they were very aristocratic.
Were they were they more aristocratic than the Frank family, or would you say that they were?
I should think maybe they were a little bit. Here's the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because of the size of the family and the women,
Those are beautiful
difference.
Women. Who are those beautiful women?
Well, there's my mother, my Aunt Molly Bernard, and Aunt Rose Sanborn. She was, her son was married to Gloria Swanson.
Oh.
And Aunt Hattie Strauss. And all three of them lived in New York. And Hattie Barrett.
Aren't those glorious dresses, beautiful dresses with all the tucking and the embroidery?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they entertained a great deal. And here were the men.
It's the men, weren't they? Oh,
the clean men.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
This is Uncle Wilfley.
He was the only one that remained in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was Jane Steinfurst's father, wasn't he?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's nice having this.
Oh, my. I don't mind.
Oh, here's Grandpa and Grandma when he was older.
But Grandpa Frank?
Grandpa Cleve.
Cleve, when they were older. Oh,
this is the Cleve book.
Oh.
And
what a wonderful
isn't
wonderful
that beautiful? Isn't
have.
That glorious?
That's the,
oh, the window at
the
temple.
Window at the temple.
Oh, that it's a photograph of the beautiful stained glass that was given in memory of the Cleves at the temple. Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, this. It was Aunt Rose Sanborn, and she was the most beautiful girl in Pittsburgh. Even the Gentiles spoke about her beauty and all that. And she flirted with a man on the streetcar. And she married him, much against grandfather's wishes.
Well, how did she spell her last name?
S-O- Sombourn.
Oh, Sombourn.
Sombourn.
Was he Jewish?
Was he
Jewish?
Yes, he was Jewish, but he was no good. And he, even at his wedding trip, he wrote Grandpa for money. So she was the most beautiful girl in Pittsburgh, and yet she was the most unhappy all her life. And the family said that they would support her if she would not have anything more to do with him, because he'd been very dishonest with her and so forth. So that's that.
Oh, I think that is simply marvelous. Bess, once you told me about going on a trip with your parents, did you take many trips with them?
Oh, yes.
I think you had gone to Europe or something.
We traveled a lot. To California and to Europe. And this is about the Frank family. But there isn't as much of that as that. Put it down someplace.
Bess, then when you finished at the school in New York City, then you came and went to Pennsylvania College for Women.
No, I went there first. It was a prep school.
Oh, that was a prep school at that time, yeah.
And a college. And when I came back, I went to Miss Glimes. And then Miss Glimes gave me a course in Bryn Mawr English because I wanted to. Well, I had a year in her school before I decided that I didn't want to go on with the arithmetic and all that kind of business.
I can understand that, yeah.
And I wasn't prepared for college, and so she had been the English professor, Bryn Mawr. And so she took me maybe three times a week for this English lessons. Mm-hmm. And we read Browning and all the fine old authors. It was a great, it was very stimulating.
Is that where your interest in literature and in writing started? She was instrumental in that, on that score. Well, Bess, I'm wondering if perhaps this is enough for today. I don't want you to get too tired. And can we come back?
Sure, but I mean, I don't know what else you want to know. We might as well finish it.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm not that tired.
Oh, well, fine.
Would you have something to drink?
No, thank you.
How about it?
No, thanks. Bess, then you went to this, you were at this school, and when you finished school, then you came home and lived here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And who were some of your friends? Who were some of your girlfriends?
Well, Irma Kingsbacker.
Oh, yeah.
Who married Ernest Dix of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. She moved to Helen Kaufman, George Kaufman's sister.
Oh.
And she moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And, several others, they all moved away. It was really too bad because they were my very dear friends. And I was telling you the other night about a boyfriend I had who,
went to Canada, an Englishman, Mr. Hass, Abe Hass' nephew, and he went to Canada to college and took up topography, you know, a drawing of miles and
of the land,
the land, and so forth. He was with the Northern Pacific Railroad, and he wrote me the most beautiful letters, and not love letters. That I would take anything from that would even show me that he intended to marry me. And I I wouldn't have married him. So he came to Pittsburgh one of the times he came to Pittsburgh. He said to me, "When I have enough, we'll get married." And I said, "Oh no, don't think that, because I won't. I wouldn't marry you," or you know, something like that. And he was very upset, and he became engaged. He went and proposed to another girl, whom I knew he was not in love with, that I knew it was just a what would you say?
A rebound.
Mm-hmm. And they announced it, the engagement, and he went back to Canada, and she didn't hear from him again, and she waited several weeks, and then they began to be worried, and he lost himself somehow, and his father came over from England, and Mr. Hass got detectives and everything, completely, never been found, or never heard from again. So that was one of the tragedies of my life.
I can believe that. Bess, your father, I understand, was quite an amazing person and had an awful lot to do with the development of the community as we know it today. What really was he like, and what were some of the things he was interested in?
He was one of the founders of the Montefiore Hospital and of the Y. Everything Jewish that was worthwhile, Father had a hand in, and Father made quite a little money, and he was very generous with it, and helped them in every way he could.
Bess, when you said he made quite a bit of money, did he still have his own mill of the? I think you said Frank and Neeland.
Frank Neeland. Mr. Neeland was his partner. And then they asked Father to combine some other mills with his own mill, and then it became the United Engineering and Foundry Company. So he lost his identity, even though he kept the name of Frank and Neeland. It was just one of the companies.
The merger thing, kind of thing we see all the time.
right.
Your father also, I believe, was very instrumental in the Joint Distribution Committee and the founding of the Federation, wasn't
That's
he?
Right.
On these scores. So
yeah.
When you say that there wasn't anything, did he have anything to do with the founding of any of the social clubs? Was he involved, whether it's founding of Westmoreland or Concordia?
Well, as a very young man, he was president of the Concordia very early in his history. The Concordia is over 100 years old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think he did pay too much attention to the social things, although I think that he was interested in the country club.
Mm-hmm. And, Bess, then, when did you and Mr. Anathan marry, and how did you meet him?
In Atlantic City. And he proposed to me 3 days after we met. And I accepted him the next day. I wanted to get out of it. I felt that I didn't know him well enough and so forth. And
where was he from? Where did he live?
Steubenville.
Oh, Steubenville. Mm-hmm.
I lived there for 12 years.
Oh, he was living in Steubenville when you met him in Atlantic City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How did it, and so you married him and lived in Steubenville. What was life like in Steubenville?
Well, they were, there was very little going on as far as a social life with me. And I was very interested in different things. I started the Women's Civic Committee, which was new for women to take an interest in the things that went on in the city.
By the way, excuse me for interrupting, what year were you married?
1913.
Oh, it was unusual for women, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
By the way, we don't have the date of your birth, and I think that's a very important thing.
February 7th.
You were born February 7th. 18... Let's see, we're born 90 years...
1885.
We didn't have that down. I wanted to make certain we had that on the records. So then you were living in Steubenville. You started this Women's Civic Club.
And I started a lecture course. They never had an evening lecture course. And we had 4 lectures. And we had some of the finest lecturers in the United States speak to us, and I entertained most of them myself, because after all I was the head of it.
And Bess, I think that's something that you've always continued. You've always enjoyed being with people who are knowledgeable and always enjoyed entertaining them. Am I correct about that?
That's right. I did entertain them. I mean, I enjoyed entertaining them. John Kendrick Bangs was one. Ida Tarbell. And, there was such a wonderful minister, Christian minister, had written a book that I was very enthusiastic about. What was his name? I think his last name was Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And, we had some really wonderful people.
And I always ask another couple in to have dinner with us.
Well, you were active and involved with the non-Jewish community in Steubenville, weren't you?
Oh,
you
sure.
Became very friendly with them.
Sure.
Because I remember meeting some of your friends.
Well, there weren't too many Jewish families.
What?
There weren't too many Jewish families in Steubenville, were there?
Not Reformed Jewish. Quite a few. They had an Orthodox temple. And my husband and his brothers and a couple of other men started, got up a group that eventually built a temple and got a rabbi. They were very worthwhile.
And Bess, then you...
But my best friend was a very broad-minded. She was not a Jewess, but she was very broad-minded.
What was her name? That'll come. Is that the woman you introduced me to that day I went to Steubenville with you? And there were the two sisters living there. One had been married, I believe, to a minister or something. Was that the one you're talking about? One had been married, I believe, to a minister.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you're talking about? A lovely person.
Emma Zeiss.
That's right.
Her second husband's name is Zeiss.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a minister. He was a high Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what he did. It was rather shocking. And he had to resign from the church. And they lived abroad for a year, and then he came back, and they had, Emma still had her big interest in the Sharp foundry that made the fireplaces, asbestos fire things and so forth, and the company wasn't doing very well, and he brought it up and made a profit. She's so proud of that.
Then, Bess, after 12, your two daughters, Jane and Frances, were born in Steubenville. Am I correct?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, they were born. Oh,
they're both born here.
Oh, I see. They were born after you moved back to Pittsburgh.
No. No, I came up to Pittsburgh to have them.
Oh, I see. But then they spent their early childhood years in Steubenville. How old were they when you moved back
Franny
to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Franny was 12 when we moved up here.
Mm-hmm. And then when you moved into Pittsburgh, did you find it difficult to pick up the threads of your life here in Pittsburgh, or you quickly found a place for yourself and resumed your friendships?
Oh, sure.
About when was that? Would you know? Was that in the early 20s? Let's see, you were married in 1913. And
I,
this would be in about 25. About
12 years.
That would be in 1925 that you moved back to Pittsburgh. And what became some of your interests and what...
When I came back here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I took a course in art, Dr. Avinoff.
Oh, yeah. He was at the museum, Andre Avinoff, yes.
What else did I do? I read to the children at the Crippled Children's Home, which is now the McGee Hospital.
Oh, that's where
it's the old building isn't there anymore, I don't think, where I used to go to them. And I went to the Irene Kaufman settlement every Saturday morning, and talked to the children about art, and I had these the Perry pictures of photographs of
Florence Fisher Perry.
What?
You're talking about the Florence Fisher Perry pictures?
No. No, the artist.
It's the one that used to draw the pictures in all the different shades of blue. Is that the one you're talking about?
Parrish.
Maxfield Parrish.
No, I don't think that was it. But anyway, I got these pictures of all the different fine artists, and I think I interested these youngsters in art where they never would have had before, had some of this candy. It's really very good.
Sarah?
You have some. Thank you. So, anyway, I kept myself busy.
And then I think, Bess, you were involved in a variety of things, but you were involved, I believe, and helped start Planned Parenthood.
What, dear?
You helped start Planned Parenthood.
No, I wouldn't join it at first when they asked me, because I didn't like where they were. They were in the old Wabash Railroad station building, and they only had a couple of rooms. They had things in the hall and all that. And I persuaded them to look for another place. I said that they would have more people come in and so forth. It was just before the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And so they found a place in the... What used to be the Lincoln Hotel downtown, and they showed it to me, and they said that they couldn't take any more rooms, it would be too much. So I said I'd pay the rent for 2 years, and that they should take it, so they did, and you can't imagine how that grew. Just from the start, they had so many more people come in.
Bess, I think that now that we've started into the your community activities, there are so many of them, and the hour is getting late, and I think I don't want us to rush this because you have done so many things. I'd like, if you don't mind, we'd stop it now, and then we'll come back for one more visit on this, okay?
Well, I don't know what else I can tell you.
Oh, because you haven't even started to tell us about what you have done, and that would take more time. So we'll continue this, and I'll call you. 4 o'clock's the best time for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then I'll call you and get in touch with you.